Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 25 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Courtney Howe.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
We're more united than we've ever been, without question.
Governor Matt Bevin gave a year-end report in Louisville of the state's progress.
Fall enrollment at Moorhead State University is down for the third consecutive year.
An Eastern Kentucky GOP state representative has been given a leadership position.
In sports, the Rowan County boys basketball team has its home opener tonight against Raceland.
Bud Luke has the Stocks.
Cold tonight with partly cloudy skies. Lows will be around 15 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
First this evening, the Elliott County Coroner has identified the two persons who died in a house fire in Sandy Hook earlier this week. Killed were 81-year-old Levine Spencer and her 55-year-old daughter, Patsy Wisman. They died when their house on P. Wagner Road went up in flames late Tuesday night. The cause of the fire has still not been determined, but it is thought to be accidental. The coroner's preliminary finding is that the victims died from smoke inhalation.
WSAZ is reporting two rounds of drug busts, one in Carter County and the other in Scioto County, Ohio. Two people were arrested in Carter County following a home visit with social services. William and Ashley Church are being charged with endangering the welfare of a minor in addition to drug charges because of the active meth lab inside their home. The two children were unharmed and taken into protective custody. And in Scioto County, four people were taken into custody after a drug raid in Portsmouth. Detectives found several grams of heroin and meth, along with evidence related to drug trafficking in the home occupied by Ruby Sparks, John Glisby, Dylan Christian, and Douglas Kaiser, who was arrested for similar charges earlier this year.
Moorhead State University's final fall enrollment figures show that the number of students on campus declined for the third consecutive year. The semester ended with just over 10,700 students taking classes at MSU, and that's down about 1% from last fall. However, the school's vice president for student success says there are some encouraging signs. Dr. Jason Bentley says the drop in first-time freshmen was not as big as he expected. The university's adoption of higher academic admission standards, he says, made him suspect there would be fewer first-year students.
We had anticipated that that change may impact first-time freshman numbers by about 300 eligible students, and it ended up being 188. So we were pleased to see that the profile of individuals that continue to be interested in Moorhead are among some of the best students in the entire Commonwealth.
Bentley also says Moorhead State's retention rate for freshmen was 69.7% this fall. That's an improvement of nearly 5% from a year ago.
Moorhead State University plans to offer a new graduate degree program in the fall of 2017. Provost Dr. Stephen Ralston says it's a 49-hour credit Master in Nursing program with a family nurse practitioner concentration. He says the new degree is a good fit for MSU for a couple of reasons.
One of which is that it really does meet the needs of our 22-county service region. Data collected by EduVentures, our marketing partner, state data, and other data sources indicate that a significant need for nurses, and in particular with the family nurse practitioner. As you know, they can work almost alone without a physician for basic sort of services.
And Ralston says because there is a demand for additional medical services in eastern Kentucky, there will be no shortage of students seeking to enter the nurse practitioner program. The MSU Board of Regents approved the new master's program, subject to the endorsement of the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education.
Moorhead State's chief financial officer says the university is coming to the end of a 10-year program to improve student housing. Beth Patrick says the effort was launched in 2006, and since then, renovations have taken place in Nunn Hall, Alumni Tower, and the Manon Hall complexes. In addition, she says the new Andrews, Lundergan, and Padula residence halls were constructed. Patrick thinks providing better places to live for students can make a huge difference.
I think students consider Morehead obviously first and foremost for their academic endeavors, but when they come on campus for a visit, if they see a nice place to live, if they see a nice place to eat, and they see a nice place where they can work out and be engaged with other students, that just makes it more exciting for them to come here.
Patrick is quick to add other new buildings have gone up too, such as the Space Science Center and a parking garage.
The chairman of a legislative committee investigating Governor Matt Bevin is resigning in protest. State Representative Jim Wayne says the Speaker of the House refuses to let him subpoena Bevin's accuser. House Speaker Greg Stumbo created the Investigatory Committee on Executive Action in October to investigate claims by Democratic State Representative Russ Meyer that Bevin canceled a transportation project in his district as punishment for refusing to switch parties. Wayne says, so far, Meyer has refused to testify.
A reasonable person who has made strong accusations, very serious accusations against a governor, would be willing to come before a committee investigating those accusations and explain what happened to him, what the circumstances were, and what his beef is with the governor. And it's been silence.
Wayne says Stumbo is hindering the investigation by denying his request to subpoena Mayer. Stumbo contends the action would be irrelevant and the subpoena should go to state transportation officials instead. He notes the committee is not conducting a criminal investigation, but that could change if it is determined that anything unusual was done in delaying the project.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be a criminal investigation, because there's a lot of unanswered questions here about the expenditure of state monies and the propriety of the actions of the administration.
Wayne's resignation could effectively end the committee's inquiry, but Stumbo says the committee still exists and he expected to issue a report to him by the end of the year.
Former Kentucky Personnel Cabinet Secretary Tim Longmire has pled guilty to a state felony charge related to a kickback scheme. Suzanne Duvall reports.
In a plea agreement, Longmire pleaded guilty Thursday to a charge of misuse of confidential information. Franklin County Commonwealth Attorney Larry Cleveland said Longmire could serve a recommended 5 years concurrent with the nearly 6-year sentence he begins serving next month on a related federal bribery conviction. Longmire pleaded guilty to that charge in April after he acknowledged receiving more than $200,000 in kickbacks from a PR firm. Longmire also has agreed to pay about $200,000 to settle 45 counts of violations with the Executive Branch Ethics Commission. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
The city of Ashland will get $150,000 from the Kentucky League of Cities in an insurance settlement over missing tires. The Independent reports the city had already closed its administrative investigation into more than $200,000 that turned up missing over a 4-year period. The money was supposedly used to buy tires for the city, but an audit revealed the order was much larger than necessary and most of the tires were unaccounted for. Last year's probe by the Ashland Police Department led to the indictment of former city maintenance garage supervisor Joe Burris. Burris died before he was taken to trial, and a private investigator hired by the city in February was unable to find the expenditures or missing tires. Despite the inconclusive investigation, city commissioners voted unanimously to accept the settlement yesterday. City Attorney John Vincent says although they had originally sought $244,000 insurance dollars, $150,000 is still very advantageous for the city.
An Eastern Kentucky state representative has been given a leadership position in the newly GOP-controlled Kentucky House. Republican Jill York of Grayson now chairs the chamber's Budget Revenue Subcommittee. The group works under the auspices of the House Appropriations and Revenue Committee. York says the panel's main task will be to work through the various aspects of the Commonwealth's next biennial budget.
I'm excited about how this will can factor into our district in particular, working with the components that have to do with tourism, with the components that have to do with energy, economic development, the public safety element. All of that stuff, just really great to get into that and to make sure that we're making good priorities, good choices, and being good stewards of the dollars that are assigned to us.
While York admits heading the subcommittee will significantly add to her workload, she notes she will have the help of the group's other members and the 8 staff members who've been assigned to it.
Kentucky is more untied than ever, however. That's according to Governor Matt Bevin. He made that comment at a year-end news conference in Louisville. Bevin says as a governor, he is historically different than past Kentucky officials.
People chose that knowing I didn't hide this. It wasn't a secret. I was very clear when running that I was going to chart a different path.
Bevin says his administration hasn't failed at anything they've tried to do their first year in office.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell thinks the Kentuckian President-elect Trump is choosing to lead the EPA is well qualified for the job. Haley Hansen has more.
Responding to Scott Pruitt's nomination, McConnell says, quote, the EPA is the poster child for agencies in need of immediate reform, and Scott has the resume and energy to turn this bureaucracy around. Pruitt, a Lexington native who's now Oklahoma's attorney general, was nominated by Trump despite being a strong opponent of the organization in the past. Pruitt has described the EPA as having an activist agenda and has denied the scientific evidence of global warming. I'm Haley Hansen.
Rouen's judge executive supports the passage of a tax increment financing proposal for both the county and the city of Moorhead. Proponents have been lobbying both the fiscal court and city council to okay the measure. They say that designating downtown Moorhead as a TIF district would spur development there, and Blevins is all for that.
What we're trying to do is get a hotel, downtown hotel. That's probably the key, tied to our conference center, which would make it a better place to attract conferences to the community, and that's what it's all about. Plus, usually if you bring that kind of a hotel, you'll bring other restaurants and other businesses, and of course some of those things will be right inside the hotel proper.
Tax increment financing involves leveraging future property tax revenues from a new development in order to pay for key infrastructure needs for that project, such as utilities, sidewalks, and parking garages. It does not involve any kind of tax increase. Both the Moorhead City Council and Rouen County Fiscal Court are still reviewing a TIF proposal.
If Rouen County is going to build new recreation facilities, one official thinks the public is willing to help pay for them. David Morris is Moorhead's Parks and Recreation Director and sits on a city-county committee that surveyed local residents last summer, asking them for their thoughts about how to improve the area's recreational opportunities. According to Morris, one of the most interesting things the panel discovered was that most of the 1,700 respondents to the questionnaire seemed willing to help fund any planned facility improvements.
Well, the final section of the survey was people that are willing to pay over $25 a year in taxes or fees, are willing to pay over $50 a year, willing to pay over $75 a year, and lastly, willing to pay $100 or more. And of that, over 82% of the people responded that they would be willing to pay a fee associated with this.
Morris says the Interlocal Recreation Committee will hold some public forums next year. After that, it will put together a plan for improving Rouen County's recreational opportunities and present it to the Fiscal Court and the Moorhead City Council.
Kentucky NASCAR fans won't be able to light up at the races anymore. Paul Miles reports.
Kentucky Speedway says its grandstands will be smoke-free beginning with the 2017 racing season. The ban includes the use of e-cigarettes and vapor cigarettes. The policy applies to all seating areas, including suites, clubs, and terrace boxes. Kentucky Speedway will continue to permit smoking in all other areas, including the parking lots and campgrounds. I'm Paul Miles.
They're getting ready for last-minute Christmas shoppers at the UPS World Air Hub. The average number of packages passing through the UPS Worldport Sorting Center at Louisville International Airport will double in the week before Christmas, with about 4 million passing through the center each day by the end of the month. More than 3,200 people in Louisville are being added to the workforce through the holidays to meet that demand. Jason Foote is Worldport Operations Manager. He says 150 planes will arrive at UPS Worldport to unload shipments in the automated sorting system before employees restock the jets for their next trip.
On a traditional night, we have just a little over 100, but we'll increase that by about 50% once we start getting to our heavier nights next week and the week right up until Christmas.
The sorting center in Louisville is the largest for air cargo that UPS has in the world.
Those still hoping to donate to the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign in Rowan County only have until tomorrow to do so. The effort began on November 25th. Tina Smith is the local coordinator for the initiative. Smith says while local bell ringers brought in about $4,600 last weekend, they've only raised $6,000 over the past few weeks. Last year, the campaign raised $16,000. According to Smith, the money from the effort makes a real difference for needy families in Rowan County.
The Salvation Army basically can assist individuals from our service area, which is Rowan County. We can do, if there's a need that comes out, if they need medication assistance, if they need utility assistance from that, or anything that's a need, food assistance, clothing assistance, we can look at and see what we can do. If there's a fire, we can also do some crisis assistance. So there's a lot that the Salvation Army can do.
If you'd like to make a donation, you can call Smith at the Gateway House in Moorhead at 606-784-2668. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, cold and partly cloudy. Lows will be from around 15 to 20 degrees. Saturday, mostly sunny skies, highs in the lower 30s. Saturday night will be mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-20s. Your Sunday will be mostly cloudy. It'll be windy with a 30% chance of rain in the afternoon. Highs will be in the mid-40s. Sunday night will be rainy with lows in the upper 30s, and that chance of rain is at 90%. Monday will be mostly cloudy with rain likely, highs around 50, and that chance of rain is at 70%. It's currently 27 degrees in Ashland, 24 degrees in Flemingsburg, 26 degrees in Inez, 25 degrees in Lexington, 24 degrees in Winchester, and it is 25 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
The time is 4:47, and you're listening to Mountain Edition. On our feature segment this afternoon, place, income, and race have a stark impact on opportunities for Kentucky's children. According to the Kids Count 2016 data book, Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyer has details.
Where children live, their family's income, and their race impact their chance to thrive, according to a new report card on child well-being in Kentucky. The Kids Count 2016 County Data Book provides a snapshot of how kids are doing in each of the state's 120 counties. Kentucky Youth Advocates Executive Director Terry Brooks says, while the state has made progress by reforming its juvenile justice system and ensuring kids have health insurance, there's more to be done because one in four children still lives in poverty.
Increasing eligibility for child care, thinking about paid family leave, implementing some innovative ideas like micro-enterprise zones. Those are the kind of steps that are not Democratic and they're not Republican. They've been shown to work in other places.
The annual report used 16 different indicators to examine child well-being, everything from reading proficiency to low birth weight babies. Brooks says Kentucky has to face the uncomfortable truth that zip code, money, and skin color matter, especially with achievement gaps in education.
Among the arenas that have the biggest gaps in those factors of race, geography, and income, it's public schools.
Brooks says Kentucky has to get back to the central mission of its sweeping education reform of 1990, which targeted reducing the economic disparity between schools. Bill Stewart, a retired social worker, grew up in Knox County, which is ranked 113th in child well-being. He says prescription drugs and meth have emerged as top concern.
And do we have adequate services for treatment, especially in rural areas? And I think the answer is almost certainly that we do not.
Stewart proposes a broad effort analogous to education reform to address the smorgasbord of children's issues. I'm Greg Stottlemyer reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It's 4:49, and you're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Courtney Howe here alongside Ellen Barnett, and we're glad you're with us on this Friday evening. Stay tuned at 5 for a new All Things Considered, and MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has sports. He's up after this quick break.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
The Vikings take on the Rams. Good afternoon, reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, the Round County boys basketball team plays its home opener tonight. The Vikings host Raceland at 7:30. Rounds off to a 1-2 start this season. Even so, Coach Sean Thacker remains confident in his group. He says the Vikes can be as good as last season's 20-win club if they can find the knack for playing consistently good defense.
That team took a lot of pride in getting stops. This team has some potential defensively, but we're not nowhere near polished as that team was. But we could get there and probably doing it in some different ways because of our length. But that's something that we have to be working on every day to get better at.
Raceland will check into Cooper Gym tonight with the 0-3 record. In other area games tonight, Boyd will host Chesapeake, Ohio, Menifee is at Bath County, and Greenup will visit Lewis County. On the girls' side of things, Fleming visits Ashland Blazer, Bath hosts Menifee County, and Johnson Central hits the road to Hazard. The Moorhead State men's basketball team embarks on a two-game road trip today. MSU will face Lipscomb tomorrow at 5 p.m. in Nashville with the contest scheduled at Eastern Washington next Tuesday. The Eagles are heading out of town with a 2-5 record and 5 straight losses. But interim head coach Preston Spradlin says they still have time to get their season turned around.
I just keep telling our guys, you got to keep believing in what we're doing. Come every day, learn, commit to learning, commit to work, and commit to helping each other. And then we're going to sit here in January, February, and we're going to say, man, you remember that time we went to Purdue and we got 30 pieced? Hey, we learned from it, though. We learned from it, and we got a lot better. We bounced back, and we really finished strong from that point. And I believe that they truly believe that we're going to do that.
In their last game, the Eagles lost at number 18 Purdue, 90-56. Moorhead rolled over Lipscomb, 89-75, on November 13th at Johnson Arena. The Moorhead State women's basketball team is getting ready to hit the road. The 6-3 Eagles will take on Florida A&M Sunday at 4 p.m. in the opener of a three-game road swing. Coach Greg Todd thinks the 1-6 Rattlers could pose a challenge for MSU.
They're a scrappy defensive team, very athletic. Picked pretty high in their conference, and we feel like we'll have to have a good effort on Sunday to get a win.
After Florida A&M, the Moorhead women will visit North Florida next Tuesday before heading to Georgia a week from tomorrow to take on Kennesaw State. The 11th-ranked Louisville basketball team will shoot for its fourth straight win tomorrow when the Cardinals entertain Texas Southern at 4 p.m. Despite the team's 8-1 start, Coach Rick Pitino says the Cards are far from being a finished product.
I don't think we're great at anything. I think we're good at a lot of things. I don't think we're great at anything. But we hope to get there, though, in a hurry, before next 2 weeks.
As part of their schedule in the next couple of weeks, Louisville will face Kentucky, Virginia, Indiana, and Notre Dame. Speaking of UK, the 6th-ranked Wildcats will play Hofstra on Sunday at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Kansas sophomore forward Carlton Bragg was arrested on suspicion of domestic battery against a family member yesterday in Lawrence, according to the university. Kansas head coach Bill Self says no decision on Bragg's future with the team has been made at this time. Bragg is averaging 8 points and 5 rebounds a game this season. University of Louisville sophomore quarterback Lamar Jackson is the favorite to take home the Heisman Trophy this weekend. Jackson has been the favorite to win the Heisman for most of the season, but he says he tried to stay away from all the hype.
When I start hearing about my name being talked about it, I just stop, you know, watching TV and knowing what the Heisman is going to be talked about and what channels, I just try to stay away from it, you know, just like I said before, playing my video games and stuff like that.
The Heisman Trophy presentation is Sunday at 8 p.m. Some other notes from around college football. The Houston Cougars have hired offensive coordinator Major Applewhite as its new head coach, replacing Tom Herman, who took over as the head coach at the University of Texas earlier this month. And according to ESPN, former Texas head coach Charlie Strong is in talks with South Florida officials about becoming the Bulls' next head coach. After coming off a 32-14 home win against Philadelphia, the Cincinnati Bengals will hit the road to Cleveland on Sunday to take on the Browns. Despite Cleveland's winless season, Coach Marvin Lewis believes that's not an excuse to take them lightly.
They have been in these football games and continue to play very hard and have opportunities. And, you know, they're coming off the bye week and I'm sure refocus and for this last quarter of the season.
Since he holds a record of 4-7-1, kickoff is set for 1 p.m. And finally for today in sports, the Cincinnati Reds are leaving baseball's winter meeting without making any personnel moves. However, manager Brian Price told the MLB Network that Reds officials used their time there to gauge the market in anticipation of making some future deals.
We don't have a lot to spend this year, so we have to be very particular with who we target and what we're able to spend on those pieces. And certainly the bullpen is probably a huge area of focus for us.
The Reds say unless someone absolutely wows them with an offer, they won't be trading center fielder Billy Hamilton. And that will conclude your sports report. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Single game and season tickets for men's and women's basketball are now on sale, including 16 OVC contests beginning January 5th with a doubleheader hosting Eastern Illinois. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed at all-time highs as the major indices posted their best week since the election, with the Dow Industrials finishing with a gain of 142.04 at 19,756.85. The S&P 500 was up 13.34 at 2259.53, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 27.14 at 5444.5. And, of course, these all three were record closing highs for the three major averages. The broader market not quite as strong as advancers were just about even with decliners on the New York Stock Exchange today. Consumer staples and healthcare led advancers, and investors will be bracing for a Federal Reserve meeting set for next week, with the U.S. Central Bank largely expected to announce tighter monetary policy on Wednesday. According to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool, market expectations for a rate hike next week are above 95%. In economic news, consumer sentiment for December hit its highest level since January 2015, and wholesale inventories for October showed a decline of 0.4%. Treasury bond yields were higher, with the benchmark 10-year yield advancing to just over 2.46%, and gold futures for February delivery fell $10.50, settling at $1,161.90 an ounce. And in oil markets, U.S. crude for January delivery rose 1.3% to settle at $51.50 a barrel. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.82 at $116.85, CSX up 5 cents at $37.27, AEP up 80 cents at $60.98, AK Steel down 59 cents at $10.13, Marathon Petroleum down 67 cents at $49.39, and Kroger was up 60 cents to finish at $34.79. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, cold and partly cloudy, lows will be around 15 to 20 degrees. Saturday will be mostly sunny, highs in the lower 30s. Your Saturday night will be mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-20s. Sunday will be mostly cloudy and windy in the afternoon with a 30% chance of rain, highs in the mid-40s. Sunday night, rainy, chance of rain at 90%, lows will be in the upper 30s. Monday will be mostly cloudy with a 70% chance of rain. Temperatures will be around 50 degrees. And Monday night will be mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 30s. It's currently 27 degrees in Ashland, 24 in Flemingsburg, 26 in Inez, 25 in Lexington, 24 in Winchester, and it's 25 degrees in Moorhead.
Music. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Arlo Barnett, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Ashley Chapman, and Victoria Agee. On our feature segment, Greg Stottlemyre from the Kentucky News Connection, from the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall and Haley Hansen. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Courtney Howell for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.